Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Yud Beis. We are in Yud Alpha Mid Beis. We are starting today with Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Rabbi Shimon Lakish Omer. This is going to be answer number three to the Gemara's question of yesterday. Yesterday, daf Yud Aleph. So the Gemara asked a very simple question. And going off of the Mishnah, my time at the Beis Shammai, what is the reason for Beis Shammai? What Beis Shammai? So this is still the first sugya of Masechta Kedushin. And that is in the opening Mishnah. So the Mishnah introduced us to Kiddushin. Kiddushin can be done in one of three different ways. So one of the ways that one can be Mekadesh is via Kesef. So how much Kesef do you have to give? In other words, you have to give money or something of monetary value. And that is going to be a minimum of, and now, Machlok is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. According to Beis Hillel, so it's going to be a minimum of a pruta, and according to Beis Shammai, it's going to be a minimum of a dinar. As we will be discussing later this morning, a dinar significantly more than a pruta. So in terms of actual currencies itself, it's a big discrepancy between the two. Now, as far as Shita's Beis Hillel is concerned, the Gemara spends no time trying to understand the Shita of Beis Hillel. And I don't know if I explained this yesterday or if at least I presented this yesterday, but let's just for a moment present today. Why isn't the Gemara giving analysis of the Shita of Beis Hillel? Because mistaber, because the truth of the matter is that Beis Hillel makes a lot of sense. In the following, a woman is now doing a kinyan kedushin, right? She's making a kinyan. She is now moving herself from a status of being now in her rishus to now being part of her husband's rishus. Again, it's not ownership. She's not selling herself. But nevertheless, the kinyan is done via kesef. Okay. Now, is this a real purchase? Meaning, when I say real purchase, in other words, is he paying market value for her? The answer, of course, is no. Of course not. In other words, you pay market value for somebody when you put them on the open market, you see how much they would fetch on the open market, and then when you pay that value, that's when you're paying actual fair market value of the individual. You're not paying fair market value. In other words, you're not acquiring her. So now that you're not acquiring her, so now you have to give her kesef. So what's kesef going to mean? So Beis Hillel's position is really simple, and that is, whatever the smallest unit of money is considered money. Meaning, throughout halacha, we know that anything less than a shava pruta is not mammon. So according to Beis Hillel, what do I need? I need something that simply qualifies as mammon. Oh. So that's why it doesn't have to be anything greater than a pruta, because a pruta is halachically mammon. So therefore, that's all you need to do. You just need to give her something that halachically represents mammon. So now, for Beis Hillel, really, the Gemara doesn't spend any time trying to analyze his position, but what about according to Beis Shammai? See, according to Beis Shammai, now you have to give a dinar. What's a dinar? So we'll actually go over its value in just a moment from now, but a dinar is nowhere. It's not her market value, nor is it the minimum amount of what is considered significantly money. So therefore, you're going to have to give her a dinar. What's a dinar? Why would a dinar over here be representative? It doesn't represent her market value, nor does it represent the smallest halachic coin. So what is that dinar? So that's what the Gemara is discussing. Gemara has been discussing, and we're going to continue to discuss over the course of this morning the shita of Beis Shammai. My time, I had the Beis Shammai. What's the reason for Beis Shammai? Go back to yesterday's daf. The Gemara gave not one but two offerings in terms of what is behind Beis Shammai. Yesterday we went through Shitas Rebbe Zera and Shitas Rav Yosef. Go back to yesterday's daf review, and I'm not going to do it right now. But anyway, those are the two Shitas. I was correctly accused of not doing a Chazara at the end of yesterday's daf, which is true. And I should have. Okay. So anyway, so Rav Shimon Lakish Omer Tamad Beis Shammai Kedechizkia. So the Gemara says like this. Now this is going to be our third offering of what is behind the Shita of Beis Shammai, and that is Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is of the position that the reason behind Beis Shammai is in coordination with the opinion of Chizkia. Right? I know it's a lot of names, but and that is the following: the Amar Chizkia Amar Krav Avde Malamicha Magras Mi Pidyon Avi Yotza. So the Torah in giving a description of the Amma Ivriya. Now we're talking about the Amma Ivriya exiting, making an early exit from the work. Now again, remember, we are not describing a shifcha. Shifcha kananis. We're describing an amma ivriya, right? Everyone needs to make sure that they have two categories in their head. In other words, there are different types of servitudes. There is slavery, and then there is an eved ivri amma ivriya, and that is not avdus. It's not It's not slavery. And the fundamental difference between them is that one is purchased and the other one is just simply employed for a certain period of time. It's indentured. They can't go ahead and dismiss themselves, but they're going to be working you for a maximum of 6 years. In fact, later in the Masechta, we're going to be discussing this in more detail. And what can happen over here is that there can be an early release. And how do you do an early release? And what you do is very simple. In other words, you assess how much the value of the 6 years' labors are. You prorate. And now what you're going to do is that, let's say they work for 3 years, so you're going to deduct 50% off of the purchase price. Okay, it's actually pretty simple. So the vehefte malamit shemagras mipijonav yotza. Now iamar bishlamet diavla dinar hainu demagrava azlad pruta. So the Gemara says, now how much was the original purchase price? So is the original purchase price the dinar? So then you can understand how there could be deductions going down to a pruta. Ela iamar diavla pruta. However, if the original purchase price was a pruta, so mi pruta mi migara, in other words, you can't deduct anything less than a pruta. In other words, there is nothing from a financial standpoint, from a monetary standpoint, anything less than a pruta halachically is nothing. So the Gemara says, well, wait one second. In other words, if the original purchase price was a dinar, so then maybe an achinami. So maybe there would be opportunities for deduction. And maybe if the original purchase price was a pruta, so then maybe there is no deduction. So lo sachedachidumi deyid. The Gemara says, no, that's simply not a tenable position. Why? Because dumya deyid, because it has to be similar to yid. My yid afagav diyibai miyayid viyibai lo miyayid kol hechad lo matzi miyayid. Lo havis vina zvina achinami kol hechad lo matzi migra lo havis vina zvina. Meaning giron has to be part of the possibility. There must be in the contractual agreement of the purchasing of an ama ivria, there must be an opportunity of giron. Doesn't mean you have to exercise it, but there must be the ability of giron. No different than that of yud. Yud, which we're going to be discussing as well later in this perek. And that is that when you buy an Amma Ivriya, so you now have an option to marry her. And again, I say option, by the way, as we'll discuss later in this parak. It's really recommended. It's preferred that you marry her, but you don't have to marry her. But it's certainly preferred. It's only preferred that you do. So, there must at least be the potential to exercise that option of yield. So too, when it comes to Giraon, there must be the potential to exercise Giraon. So therefore now, the original purchase price must have been a dinar, so that we can go ahead and we can exercise giron. And v'kidushe isha libei shama nafkalu mi'ama ivriya. Now here we get to an important point, which is, ama ivriya is not marriage. Again, there's an option of marriage, but the purchasing of an ama ivriya is not marriage. You know what it is? It's called purchasing an ama ivriya. Thank you very much. So what does that have to do with our discussion? Our discussion is Kedushin. And when you're a Mekadosh woman, you're a Mekadosh with a dinar. So what does the Amma Ivriya discussion have anything to do with us? Gemara says, now we get to connect the dots. The Kedusha Isha, when Yud Beis Amad Aleph, we are five lines down. Kedusha Isha la Beishama Nafkalu Mi Amma Ivriya Mayim, Amma Ivriya Bepruta la Mekanya Afisha Bepruta la Mekadosha. Okay, so, and the source of Kedushin comes from Amma Ivriya. Okay, in other words, how do we know Kesef by Kedushin? Okay, that's a loaded question. We spent a lot of time here in the first paragraph of Kedushin answering that question. But for Beit Shammai, one of the sources, and by the way, it's not just Beit Shammai, but one of the sources of Kedusha Isha is derived from Amma Ivriya. So just like Amma Ivriya cannot be purchased for anything less than a dinar, Kedushin cannot be done with anything less than a dinar. Ve'ma paga de dinar, ve'ma shte prutos. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's a half a dinar, maybe shtei prutos. Meaning, look, by Amma Ivriya, what is instructing us by Amma Ivriya? You need giron. You see, if I start with a pruta, there's no room for giron. There can be no deduction. So the Gemara says, okay, so I got this great idea. So I need giron. So how about the purchase was two prutas? And you could do giron. You could do a deduction. In other words, take off one pruta from the two. Alternatively, it could be a half a dinar. And take off from the half dinar. Meaning half dinar, there are many prutas in a half dinar. So there's a possibility of deduction. So Kevin Dafik to me Prutok Ma'adinar. So the Gemara says, okay, I know, but once we left Pruta, the next currency above that is a dinar. Okay.
Who I'm good. Such a coin is a half a dinar.
Right. Right. In other words, we're going with the system. And I expressed this yesterday, and as we're about to enter into a very detailed Gemara regarding numbers, and I did my homework. I did the numbers. But I'm going to make an admission, and that is I don't fully understand the currency system, which is not it's not a shameful admission. In other words, I made
because the next currency after a futa is a dinar.
So now you say that, and I'll agree with you. At the same time, however, later this morning we're going to be talking about isurim and isur, and an isur stands between the pruta and the dinar. So you have to be right. In other words, I know that you're right. In other words, the Gemara's understanding is that you have pruta, which is the smallest coin, and then above that is a dinar. But it's going to be confusing because in just a moment we're going to introduce a middling coin between the pruta and the dinar. Okay, but still the Gemara's assumption is that we have to go up from a pruta. What's the next common currency after the pruta? It's a dinar. Okay, good. All right, and finally, number four. Rava Amar, Haina Tamid de Beishamah Shaloyu Benoist Yisrael Kafka. We don't want Benoist Yisrael to be like Kafka, meaning that this is a general, let's call it a Din Darabanan, and we don't have to call it that. Rashi will in just a moment, but this is just a general legislation to go ahead and to protect the dignity of women. Rashi writes over here, super interesting. Rashi writes over here, Kafka, Liknos Bedavar Muad. Meaning, what are you going to do? You're going to marry a woman with a pruta, right? In other words, it'll cheapen women. And Rashi writes, "Amid the Rabbanan, he dekamri la beishami dafka Rabban lekedushin ha pechusin midinar." And Rashi writes over here, this is rabbinic legislation. Meaning, you're going to go ahead and be mikdash a woman for less than a dinar. The chachamim look at you and say, "No." I mida araisa, it works. Meaning, mida araisa, all you need is a pruta. Yes, that's true. But that was simply insufficient. And that what we're going to do is that we're going to come in and we're going to just simply remove the Kedushin. Afki'ina Rabbanan Kedushin Mineh. Okay, in Gittin, we discussed this topic formally two times in the Masechta. And over here, Rashi drops this idea over here in terms of a Hezber behind the Shita Beis Shammai in that the Chachamim legislated that even though a Pruta works, the Chachamim said no. We want it to be more. We don't want women to be cheap in the eyes. Okay, good. Adkan, that takes us to the end. So far now, we have concluded the discussion that started yesterday regarding my time. I debate Shami. What is the reason behind Beis Shammai when you're Mekadosh a woman? So you do so not with a pruta like Beis Hillel, but according to Beis Shammai, you do so with a dinar. And a dinar is significantly more than a pruta, right? By the way, let's say it right now. How many prutas are there in a dinar? 192. 192. Okay, so in other words, Beis Shammai requires a factor of 192 times greater than that of Beis Hillel. Talk about a discrepancy. Mm-hmm. That is huge. Anyway, so the Gemara now tried to wrap its head around what is the reason behind Beis Shammai. And we just went through between yesterday and today four different approaches in terms of how to understand Beis Shammai. Hillel cares about everything. In other words, but what Hillel will tell you is that people. I mean, again, I'm not in a position where I can speak on behalf of Hillel, but in other words, if I may suggest, what Hillel will tell you is that everyone understands over here that the Kesef Kedushin, you're not purchasing her. This is not her value. It is a step in the marriage process. It's required. And you need to give her kesef, but you are not buying her. Right. Okay, fine. And the four positions that we went through, I'm not going to go through all of them, but Rabbi Zera, Rav Yosef, that was Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. And then Reish Lakish, that was Yud Aleph Amid Beis. And then today, Rava is found on Yud Beis Amid Aleph. So the four approaches of the Amoraim, in explanation of Beis Shammai, we continue. We're on Yud Beis Amid Aleph. We are at the two dots, which is where the wide line started, Beis Hillel, Omim, Bepruta. So now we go to Shitas Beis Hillel. As I already pointed out earlier this morning, the Gemara does not spend time trying to explain Beis Hillel meaning it's a davar pashut. Okay? And earlier this morning I tried to explain the pshitus of Beis Hillel. So all you need to do is give a pruta. Now when we say pruta, so what do we mean by that? So pruta kol dehu. So what Rav Yosef over here is suggesting is the following. Okay? Obviously, the coinage system that the Mishnayos are describing is the coinage system that was used in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, there's a currency system used in Eretz Yisrael related to the currency system that is in the Torah. And so therefore, the word pruta could be understood in the most literal sense of, here's the currency system in Israel. There's a coin called the pruta. 8 of those prutas make up an iser. 24 of these isurim make up a dinar, which means that 192 of these prutas make up a dinar. And so what you need to do, if you're going to use a coin to be mekadesh a woman, is you got to use that pruta. That's what you could have said. Rav Yosef says, I got a better suggestion. And that is that when we're saying the word pruta, what we really mean by that is that wherever you are, whatever the smallest currency is, that's good. A penny, right? In our day and age. So go ahead and give her a penny, and that would work. Okay, that is what Rav Yosef is suggesting. Sever Rav Yosef lememar pruta kol du. Amar le'abai v'hala ketanik amma hi pruta echa mishmona b'yisar yitalki. So the challenge is very simple. Take a look at what we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that when we say pruta, it's an eighth of an isar ha'italki. Italian isar. V'chitema, and by the way, Rav Chaim, this is where I think you're right. Meaning that the Isar HaItalki that the Gemara over here is describing is not an Israel currency. Right. So in other words, within Israel currencies, it goes pruta and then up to dinar, shoots up to dinar. And the Isar HaItalki is just simply another currency, which, oh, by the way, obviously was popular at the time, because now what they're doing is that basically they are rating the pruta against the Isar HaItalki. So clearly it was popular, but it's not our currency per se. Anyway, but the point of the Gemara is the following, and that is that when the Mishnah is saying pruta, clearly it's talking about pruta, proper noun, meaning it's not symbolic of the smallest coin, but it means the actual pruta. And the Gemara says, okay, but maybe what the Mishnah is describing is, you know, back in the day, but nowadays, whatever is currency and whatever is the smallest currency would work. Meanwhile, the Gemara now cites Amoraim, right? Current people who are measuring the currency and how much is a pruta. So it's either an eighth of an Isar HaItalki or a sixth of an Isar HaItalki. Now, it's one of the two, by the way. How are we fluctuating? Hold that question. Hold that thought. We're coming back to that momentarily. But right now, clearly over here, the pruta that we're describing over here is not just the modern, contemporary, whatever the smallest coin is. But do you know what pruta means? Pruta means pruta. So, Amale Rav Yosef, Yahachi Hanid Detanin, Sefer Chashav, Kamar Prutas B'Shnei Salaim, Yosef Me'apayim. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Pruta's pruta. Got it. I'm going to be struggling now with the following. It's a brisa. The brisa says that if I'm holding 2 salaim in my hand, so how many prutas is it? More than 2,000 prutas. Okay. Now, let's quickly just pause for a moment in the Gemara and let's do a little bit of math together. Okay. As I already pointed out, there are 192 prutas in a single dinar. How many dinarim are there in a sella? There are 4 dinarim in a sella. Okay, I'll provide the math. The math over here is not complicated, and that is that's 192 times 4, 768. For every sella, a sella holds 768 prutos. Okay. Now, with that stated, that means to say that if I have 2 salaim in my hand, so then take the number 768 and just simply multiply it by 2. 1,536 prutos that are found within 2 salaim. Now, over here, a statement that was made in the Braisa said, Seva Chashov. We just read the Braisa. How many prutas are there in 2 salaim? More than 2,000. More than 2,000, you have to be kidding me. Hasha apayim lo havyan. Yes, am I apayim karilu? It's not even 2,000. And the Braisa says, more than 2,000. Amalu asaba anantanina la karv la apayim. Okay, so I'm going to edit the Braisa. Not more than 2,000, just up to 2,000. To which the Gemara says, okay, I still don't love it. So the Gemara says, meanwhile, the correct number is 1536. That is a far cry from 2000. So Dehavyan, So Kevin Danafkalumi Paga Karvalapim Karile. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? It's called rounding up. Okay, in other words, we did not come up with the concept of rounding up, right? Rounding up is an old idea, and that's what the Brisa was just trying to articulate and give voice to. In other words, we enjoy it's just easier in our head than when we look at numbers, we look at whole numbers. So therefore we're gonna round it up. So if I'm holding two salim, how many prutas is that? 1536. Who's gonna remember 1536? Okay. So in other words, just round it up. 2,000 prutas. Okay. Roughly. Okay. So the so all this was just basically a quick and brief dismissal of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said that when we said pruta, what we meant by pruta was just whatever the current currency is, and the smallest coin of the current currency. To which the Gemara says, no. When we say pruta, we meant pruta, meaning pruta that was used in the currency system of Eretz Yisrael, where it's a dinar and 192 prutas that go into a single dinar. Which, if I'm holding two zloim, that's 1536 prutas. Anyway, Gufa, the Gemara says, okay. Now, when you're doing your exchange between prutas and the Italian Isser, so how many, if I have an Italian Isser, how many prutas am I going to get in exchange? And the answer is, it wasn't clear. You're either going to get eight or you're going to get six. And the Gemara says, Ki asa Rav Dimi Gufa. We're going to go now to this very point. Meaning, and remember, back in the day, their currencies were not just simply fiat currencies. Their currencies were coins that were weighted, made out of metal, and actually represented the value that they claimed to be worth. So the Gemara says, Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar Shia Rabbi Simai Bidara Kamave Pritachim Mishwana Bisari Talkin. So we have one tradition that is that a pruta is an eighth of an Isar Itaki. V'chi asa Ravin, Amr Shiara Dalad, Rabbi Dustai, V'Rabbi Yana, V'Rabbi Yoshe, Kamahi Pruta, Echad Mishisha B'Isar Itaki. So it's going to be six prutas per Isar Itaki. Amr Le Abay Le Rav Dimi Nema, Ad Ravin, Bepuk Tadani, Tanai Kamiflagisu. Ah, so you know what? I bet you that you're debating the very same points that these two Tanaim are about to debate. The Tanya we learned in the Brisa Pruta Shamru Chachamim. Echad Meshmona Meisar Itaki Sheshma Kesef Dinar Ma Shnei Pundayon Pundayon Shnei Isarin Isar Shnei Musmasin Masmas Shnei Kuntar Runkin. You'll forgive my pronunciation. It's probably awful. Kuntar Narak Shnei Prutos Nimsa Pruta Achas Mishmona Beisar Itaki. According to the Tanakama, so we just went through a whole assortment of coins. Please forgive me as I do not spend time right now detailing the various different coins. All we need to know is that according to the Tanakhama, how much is an Isar Itaki? Eight prutas. That's all you need to know. And Rishim ben Gamliel Amar Shlosha Hadrasim Lama, Shnei Anasim Lahadris, Shnei Shamashim Lahanetz, Beis Prutas Lashamin, Nimsa Pruta Achas Mishisha B'Isar Itaki. And according to the Rashbag, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, so he argues. Now, you can, but I'm not going to be able to help you. What is this machlokus over here? They're arguing about what is the coin system? And they're arguing about whether this coin is a coin or is not a coin. I'm definitely not fully understanding what this machlokus is a predicate of. But right now, here's what I... Okay, I'm clearly deficient in understanding, but here's what we need to know. What we need to know is that there's a machlokas tanayim, that isar itaki that you're holding right now. Is it going to, and you want to exchange it. Are you going to get six prutas or are you going to get eight prutas? It's a machlokas. And what the Gemara now is proposing is that, hey, this machlokas tanayim, that's also the same machlokas amram that we quoted just moments earlier. Lema damar amar katanakama v'ravin da amar kavashim and gamliel. So, right? In other words, and let's now just simply have the two machlokas running parallel. So the Gemara says, no. Let's all go like the Tanakhama. And as Rashi points out over here, what's driving that? What's driving that is that it's our Stam Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah over here tells us that when I'm holding a Pruta, what is that? So eight of them are going to go into an Isar Italkin. So that we're going to go like the Tanakhama. V'lokasha ha-diyakir isuri ha-dazol isuri. And so what we're looking at over here is how the market basically goes up and down. And sometimes that isra's got great purchasing power, and sometimes it does not have great purchasing power. Sometimes with that isra itaka, you're going to be able to exchange it for 8 prutas. And sometimes you're only going to be able to exchange it for 6 prutas. Oh, okay. Very good. Right? Baruch Hashem, I'm sending one of my kids to Israel in the upcoming year. And we're going over exchange rates. Okay. Shekel strong. Okay. So, okay. So, hadiyakar yisuri hadazol yisuri. Very good. So the hadiyakar yisuri kum esrim varba bezuze hadazol kum taltim v'chrein bezuze. Okay, good. And so the Gemara just simply expresses and articulates that it just depends on the purchasing power of the isar, of the Italian isar. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the next part of today's daf, in that basically we took a look at a system of currencies, and when the Mishnah in Beis Hillel says that you have to give a pruta, what does that mean? And it means that when you say you have to give a pruta, it means you have to give a pruta. Meaning a pruta of the currency system of sela and dinar and pruta, and also, by the way, we did a side-by-side comparison of the Isar Ha'italki, the Italian Isar, in relationship to the Pruta. That Isar Italki can get you how many Prutas? And the answer is it depends. In other words, sometimes 6, sometimes 8. In other words, it depends on the purchasing power of the Isar Italki. Okay. Our last topic for today, let's call it now that as we wind down in today's daf. So that is that let's say you decide to be Mekadosh a woman using kesef, but not actual currency, but in other words, shava kesef, something of value, and you're not totally sure of what its value is. Okay, just moments earlier in today's daf, we went through that sometimes the Isar Italki fluctuates in price. Now the Isar Italki happens to be a coin and an actual currency. But let's say instead of using a coin, actual currency, you use an item of value. So the Gemara starts off, we are in Yud Beis Amud Aleph, we are about a quarter of the way from the bottom of the Amud Amr Shmuel. Kisha B'tamar Afilo Omeid, Kor Tamarim B'dinar, Mekudeshet Chayshin and Shema, Shave Pruta B'madai. Okay, you're Mekadosh using a Tamara, a date. Okay, also make a bad pun as you try to be Mekadosh her with that date. And the and even if a Kor Tamarim is going to be only a dinar. Now, a kor of tamarim, that's 30 sa'a of tamarim. Okay, and all I need is just simply one single dinar to buy that kor, which means that one single date is not valued at a pruta. Okay, I don't know how many dates there are in 30 sa'a, but it's safe to say that there's more than 192. Okay, clearly. So in other words, each one of the dates is less than a pruta, and you just gave her but one date, so the Kedushin should not be affected, right? So Shmuel says, no, I don't think so. My concern is that even though currently right now where we are, this date is not valued as Sheva Pruta, but if I took it to Madai, I'm going to be able to get a Pruta for this date. What's so special about Madai? Rashi writes over here, you talk about economics, right? The Klamar, B'makam She'in Tamar Mitsuyim. So Rashi describes over here that in Madai, so they didn't have a lot of dates. So now the supply side went down, and so therefore the price is going to go up. Oh. It's simple economics and market forces. So what we have over here is the following, and that is that currently when I gave her the date where we are locally, where we are centered, and that date currently right now does not have the value of a pruta, so we could just simply say, okay, the Kedushin did not occur. Shmuel says, yeah. But you know, if we were to go out to Mada right now, and you can command more than a pruta for that single date, so chayshinan, and I'm reading the Gemara carefully, and you don't have to read it that carefully, the Gemara is going to spell it out. I'm worried that maybe that if we go to another location, and its appraised value can go up in another location, so therefore maybe the Kedushin is in fact going to be valid. So the Gemara says, Chashin Hashem Hashem HaPruta B'madev, Hanan Tanan Beisal Amrin B'Pruta V'Shev HaPruta. Now wait one second. In other words, isn't our Mishnah telling us is that we have to operate based on our current location, and if it's worth a pruta here, then great, and if not, then it's nothing. And what are you telling me? So, lokasha habe kedusha vada habe kedusha safek. To which the Gemara says, no. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is talking about kedusha vada. In other words, when our Mishnah is describing when it's definitively kedushin. What Shmuel is telling us is safek. I don't know. And because its value could be greater than a pruta somewhere else, so maybe the kedushin's good. I'm describing what is kedusha safek. How God for the Gemara is going to tell us a couple of stories. There was a person daktish bezavda de orde. Okay, I don't. Okay, aguda shamochen. Okay, whatever. He was mekadesh a woman using an item of value and a tuft of wool. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Fine. Yasser Rav Shimon Bar Chia Kama De Rava VeKama Ayin Bayi Es Beishav Pruta In Ilolo. And now, so we have to know: did the kedushin take effect? Well, what was its value? And so here, the rabbi started looking at it, trying to appraise it. VeLeis Beishav Pruta. So Lo VeHamar Shmuel Chayshina Lo Kasha BeKedusha Vada BeKedusha Safek. What about the statement of Shmuel? Shmuel was just talking about Safek, meaning you're right. Meaning even if here it is not valued at a Pruta, maybe elsewhere it would be. Shmuel says, yeah, that's right. And therefore, it'd be a suffix. The analysis that was currently going on in the current case is just to make sure that here it's worth a shavar pruta so that it's not a kedushe suffix, it's a kedushe vadai. Obviously, we'd much rather kedushe vadai than a kedushe suffix. Ha'ugarva da'akjish ba'avna de'kuchla. A person was mekadesh a woman using a blue stone. So Yasser Rav Chisda v'kamishar le'iyas bei shavah pruta in v'ilo lo. And again, the appraisal of how much it's worth v'ilays bei shavah pruta lo. So to which the Gemara says that if it's not a shavah pruta, then no. V'amar shmol chayshinim Rav Chisda lo sevela d'shmol. Now the Gemara says over here that as far as Rav Chisda is concerned, he's dismissive of the idea of shmol. Meaning Rav Chisda says that the only thing you need to assess is current location. And current value and current location. You do not have to entertain the possibility that maybe if I took it somewhere else, it's going to sell for a higher value. You don't have to worry about that. So Rav Chisda argues fundamentally with Shmuel. All I need to look at right now is current place and current value. Amrei imei v'ha ha'u yuma dekacha hava beishav pruta. So now. The mother gets in and the mother gets involved and she says that, you know, even though it's not worth a shavah pruta today, but I'm telling you that when he gave it to her a week ago or whatever, whenever historical period it was in fact worth a value at a shavah pruta. In other words, we know that not only does price fluctuate based on where you are, but price fluctuates based on time as well. Okay. So So Amrle Lav Kol Kaminach Da Asartle Avasra. Rav Chisda's response is that no. In other words, you do not have that kind of power where you can claim, and we have to believe you that historically its value was greater than a shavah pruta. Meaning, all we have right now in front of us is what we see and what we currently appraise, and you want to tell me that historically the price was greater than a shavah pruta? You don't have that kind of credibility. Lav Hainu, the Gemara says, I'll give you a parallel scenario as we turn to the top of the Amud Beis. Lav Hainu, the Yehudis, the Vasai, the Rabbi Chia, the Havis, the Tzar Leida. So Yehudis, the wife of Rabbi Chia. So she had terrible pain in giving birth. Rashi reminds us of the Gemara's in Yevamos. She gave birth to multiples. Rashi describes over here twins. Anyway, so there was Sar Leida, Amrele, Em Kibo Be'avucha Kiddushe, Kizutras. And now she starts telling a story. And I know this whole episode is strange. But I know it's strange. But she starts telling a story about, well, you know, I was told the story by my mother that when I was younger, my father accepted Kiddushin for me on behalf of somebody else.
Now she's talking about.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Like I said, I know the story is strange. But anyway, so this is a reporting that's done from her in the name of her mother of what happened when she was little. So kima ba'avuchi kiddushi kizutras. So Amar La, so he says, Erlav kol kiminach di imech da asart lechi lavei. So and his response is, Lav kol kaminach, meaning, no. In other words, stories like that do not have any halachic significance. You want to tell me a story, even though you're telling me a story of something that happened halachically, but again, Lav kol kaminach. And similarly over here, right, when he hands her an item of value, and it's less than a shava pruta, and somebody comes along and says, or the mother comes along and says, you know, when he gave it to her, it was worth a shava pruta, you know how price fluctuates, and Lav kol kaminach. Meaning she does not have that kind of credibility where she can go ahead and tell such stories. So the Gemara says, okay, so she does not have credibility to talk about its value a week ago or a month ago, but aren't there Eidim? So the Gemara says, Hashemiya lo lesnu kaman. Okay, in other words, you can't manufacture Eidim. If the Eidim are actually here testifying, good. But if they're not here, we don't have to worry about possible Eidim that saw it. In other words, they're presently not here. Lav hainu de Rabbi Chanin, de Amar Rabbi Chanina, Eidi b'tzad istan v'te aser. So, in alignment with the statement of Rabbi Chanina. So, right, it's an expression. Eidi b'tzad istan. Rashi describes it as a northern wind, a ruch sphonis. In other words, v'ein b'ayim ma'idim v'te aser. That's a rhetorical question, says Rashi. And that is that right now, don't worry about potential Edom that you don't know about. Abai v'revelo sfir luhud alahad rav chista. Im ekila b'shvoye de menavla nafsha gabe shavai nekel b'eshet ish. Now, Abai and Rava do not agree to that of Rav Chista. Meaning, Rav Chista says that if there are potential Edom, I do not need to worry about potential Edom. Abai and Rava says, look, when it comes to Shvuya, so we're going to be Mekel. Meaning, a woman's taken to a captivity. And and she comes back and she self-reports. And not only does she self-report, but she, part of her self-reporting is that she was not been violated. So we're going to believe her. Okay, this is a lengthier discussion. But over there, what about possible Edom? There, I'm not worried about possible Edom. Over there, that's only the issue regarding Shvuya. And as Rashi points out over there, she can take measures in terms of making sure that she is not being violated. Okay, see Rashi over here. But meanwhile, when it comes to Eishes Ish, meaning I don't know, says Abai and Rava, that I'm prepared to be that lax, where I'm just simply going to dismiss and disregard the potential Edom that are going to see, right? Nekel b'Eishes Ish. Okay. Right. So the Gemara describes a family from Surah where the Chachamim basically separated themselves from her. She was taken into captivity, and it's not because of a concern of Shmuel. Again, Shmuel's concern was, let's be concerned that the value of the item is worth a shava pruta elsewhere, but rather because they hold of Abai and Rava. There are witnesses elsewhere, and therefore they're not going to be, and since there are potential witnesses elsewhere, they're not going to be make on that regard. Okay, let's do one more for today. How will gavra diktish b'shutisa da'asa b'shuka? Say a man was mekadesh a woman, and what did he use? He used hadasim. Okay, an entire row of hadasim describes Rashi. And shalcha Rav Acha bar Huna lekamet de Rav Yosef ki agad namai shalach le nagdei kerav vitzrich gita kishmol. So over here, So here's what I would recommend that you do. Number one, you give the person malchus. Okay, why? He was Mekadosh a woman, but where was he Mekadosher? In the market. In the market. Okay, in other words, just not appropriate, not dignified.
Malchus without any warning?
Okay, we'll get to that momentarily. And also, again, because of Shmuel's position. Remember, Shmuel taught us that, even though currently right now it's not worth a Shavar Pruta, but could be worth a Shavar Pruta in Madai. The Rav man get Alman de Mekadosh Beshuka. Rav would give Malchus. Now over here, where Rav would be giving Malchus, that means to say that this is Malchus Mardus. Okay. In other words, part of the rabbinic power is that not only can they legislate, but they can also go ahead and correct certain behaviors that need correction, and even if it means that they're going to be giving out Malchus, right, actual corporal punishment for things that are not violations of the Torah, but just simply inappropriate behavior, improper behavior. Rashi describes over here pritzus, so they can go ahead and they can give malchus. The chachamim can do that. And Rav would have an assortment of things that if he felt needed correction, and the Gemara goes through a quick litany of things that he gave malchus for. Rav mangid alman de mekash b'shuk, yom mekash b'shuk, that's just, it's wildly inappropriate, it's in the marketplace, that's not the place to be mekadosh. Obviously, it has to be done in front of Edim, but it has to be in a more private area. Valen de mekash b'bia, right? A person elects to be mekash a woman using bia. Three methods in which it can be mekash a woman, kesef, shtar, and bia. We are now wrapping up week number two when we're discussing it. And even though the Torah allows for kedushin to be done via bia, but Rav felt that bizman in his generation, bizmano, it's wildly inappropriate to do so. And he felt that look, just from a priest's standpoint, it's not proper. Valen de mekash b'lo shiduche. Going ahead and being mekadosh a woman without making the financial arrangements prior to that. The families didn't get together. The families didn't work out all the financial details. No. In other words, he seriously condemned that such activity. In fact, if somebody was mekadosh like that, malchus. Val de mevato gita, if after issuing the get, and the get is en route, and you're mevato the get. So Rav says, okay, he would bring the man into his office and malchus. And finally, al damaser moda gita. And if before you give a get, you make a disclaimer. I'm doing so under duress. So Rav says, okay, come here, malchus. Which I know is ironic. I know. in other words, in the way I just set it up, you know, I'm giving the get against my will. Oh, come here. and now we're going to give a malchus for, you know, because, you know.
It's funny because Rambam had people getting, because they're not giving the get. So this is the.
No, you're right. But al demetzar shlucha de rabbanan, and let's say you have an agent of Beis Din, and you're just not respectful. You're holding him in contempt. So you're holding him in contempt. That's like holding the court in contempt, and you're going to get malchus. Al de chal shamta ilavei talsin yomim. Also, let's say you have a shamta, you have a cherem against you, and the cherem has been going on for 30 days, and you're shrugging your shoulder. You don't seem to care. Okay, that you will be called into the office. And also a son-in-law living in his mother-in-law's house. So when Rav hears of it, again, pritzus, it's inappropriate, and it can obviously lead to wildly inappropriate behavior. So Dadarian Chiloflo, the Gemara says, now we're talking about where you lived there, not if you're just simply passing through. And the Gemara is asking this as a question. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm telling you, Rav Sheshes gave malchus not for living and moving into his mother-in-law's house, but just simply, you know, passing through, if you will, knocking on the door, paying a short visit. So the Gemara says, how made them have a daime? So the Gemara explains very simply over there. There were already rumors and allegations, and already we heard of things occurring over there. Meaning, it's obviously situational. In other words, there aren't just simply, like, one rule covers everything. In other words, the chachamim have to deem when it is that people are behaving in manners of preachers, and obviously it's situational. Nardai amre bekula laman gid rav ela al demekash bebiya below shiduche. Vigid amre afila b'shiduche nami mishim preachusa. And then another viewpoint in which Rav would give malchus, but only... If if you were Mekadesh Bebia. Now, two versions over here is that with the financial arrangements and without the financial arrangements. But in other words, according to this other version, Rav would not be giving Malkus as many different occasions as originally reported. So the Gemara has various different Masoras when Rav would give Malkus, but in other words, in order to correct various acts of Pritzus, Rav would give Malkus. Okay. Adkan, we're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up. Ha'u Gavra. Okay, good. And quickly, a recap, shall we? We went over between yesterday and today four different explanations of Beis Shammai, why it is that Beis Shammai says that when you're Mekadesh a woman, you're doing so with a dinar, not with a pruta. I'm not going to go through all four right now, but that's our starting point of the daf. Next, in the daf, Beis Hillel says you're Mekadesh with a pruta. When we say pruta, what do we mean? Do we mean just simply the smallest coin that's currently available? Do we mean the actual pruta? And the answer is it's the actual pruta. How much is an actual pruta? Well, it's 192 prutas that go into a dinar. 768 prutas go into a sela. So, and if you want to compare it and do an exchange rate between the pruta and the Isar Italki, it's eight prutas for one Isar Italki. Today we noted that there seems to be somewhat of a discrepancy. According to other versions, it's six, not eight. Okay, the Gemara discussed. Okay. And the last part of today's daf, we went over items that do not have a value of a Sheva Pruta, however, may be appraised differently somewhere else. Shmuel says we're Choshesh. That was Shitas Shmuel in today's daf. Generally speaking, if people are reporting, people that are not Edom are reporting, do we have to worry about that? So that also was a big discussion of today's daf. And finally, we finished up at the end where Rav would give Malkus because people were acting in ways that were inappropriate. Amen.